hope we get some more stragglers in, but it's 4 o'clock, so it's time to start. I'll go ahead from the last meeting, I'll go ahead and initiate the meeting, and then we'll have elections of officers, so we can get somebody permanent on that. Everybody's met Terry Inslee, and I guess while we're waiting for people to come in, maybe Terry, you could tell us a little bit about the July 14th event.
Well, we haven't got much planned for it just yet. We're gonna be leaving Kelso. The plan is to leave Kelso and fly out here. And we were gonna make this a lunch stop on our tour, but then we're going to Hood River later in the day and spend the night in Hood River. So I'm just kind of looking to see what y'all think of the idea. There's probably gonna be, we average 40, 50 airplanes. And I'm not sure how big it's gonna be this year, whether it be smaller or not. It may be smaller, because we shrunk the tour down this year. Usually we take all 5 days and go. We're keeping it a lot more local. Last time in 23, we went to Wenatchee, Winthrop, way up on the top of the lake, Colville, for lunch up there. We spent nights in Wenatchee, Winthrop, and then we, after lunch in Colville, to Sand Point. And then we stayed there 2 nights, and the middle of the day, we flew to Kellogg, and it really turns out well. After that, of course, we went back to Sand Point, and then on down to Phelps Field, and for our banquet on Friday night. But we've had really good success with, I'm amazed. I've only been involved in two other tours, 21 and 23s, and the people just have been coming out, because we get posters and hand them out for the folks like here to put places and advertise and stuff like that. And so, and our goal is really to advocate for kids and people and stuff about aviation. We don't want to be just sitting over there, the airplane just sitting out there and nobody. We when we show up, we stay around the planes, we talk to the public. I've sat more kids in my biplane at Kellogg than you can count, and they just loved it. They're just introducing kids and people to airplanes and saying that they're really not a rich man's game. And everybody thinks, oh, airplane, well, you have a boat? Yeah, well, you got more money in your boat than I got in this airplane. You know, and they don't seem to understand that. It's a big, of course, we know that it does cost some money to have planes. But
And maintaining
them and all that, but it's obtainable. And if you could introduce stuff, and every group I talk to about different things in different places, whether it's a car club, an airplane club, and you look around the room and we're all the same age, and you just don't see young people coming out anymore. And so if we don't do something, all these old clubs are just going to die. And
it's everything, service clubs, anything.
Yeah. And so that's our main goal is to meet with the public. You know, show them the old airplanes. And we've had folks bring cars out even. A couple people bought their old cars out. And this guy had like a 40 Ford or something like that truck. And he wanted to park it next to one of our airplanes that was a 40 airplane. And take pictures. And yeah, we were all over that. And so, but we just, I don't know. That's pretty much what we're doing.
So after Hood River, you just spend the night there. And then what?
I think we're spending 2 nights in Hood River, because we're going to go out to Lexington in the middle of the state for lunch. And those folks, there is nothing there. It's out in the desert. He says, we're going to go around every town within 30 miles and pass out the word and the posters and stuff and get people to come. She says, we will get mayor. We will get people to show up. And one of the guy has that stop, and so he's going there another couple of weeks to talk with them and try to figure things out. And so, and then we're going to Lewiston to Hangar 180. We're going to hang out there and do our banquet there. And we're going to kind of break up, because we have folks that we want to go some places that we really don't want 172s to go to. And so we have some places where we'll just say, okay, the tour's over, but there, we're a bunch of us are going to go to a couple other places the next day or two up north and end up in Marion, Montana. myself and a few guys, and visit up there with some folks we know. One of them's in our club, and he's moved there and built a house. So.
Well, it sounds a lot like EAA, where we're trying to draw young people into aviation and at least explore, you know, getting them up for an introductory flight and telling them about the benefits of aviation, especially with becoming a young eagle and free ground school and et cetera, et cetera. And there's all the jobs that are available in the industry. So
yeah,
get them thinking about it.
Yes.
We have one young eagle that flew with us 2 years ago, and he joined EAA, and he's taking lessons here at SRA Aviation, so he's 18.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to Joseph, Oregon a few years back, and when they had their airplane days, and they invited us also, a bunch of us went there, and they had a big dinner and stuff, and public was out, and they actually were trying to raise some money, so they auctioned off rides in the Howard, in the Stearman's, and things. And just raised money for that, and they went like hotcakes.
Hmm.
You know, people wanted to ride those things.
You guys are up for that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Terry, this is our Warrenton Mayor, Henry Ballensiever. Terry Inslee's Puget Sound Antique Aircraft Club that's coming in July 14th.
Oh, July 14th, okay.
Yeah.
July 14th.
I know it's a Monday. I know Tom Jensen talked to us about maybe incorporating with our annual airfare, but it doesn't work on not being a weekend because the Coast Guard's a major participant, unless you think otherwise. So,
I don't know.
Yeah. But I think with your attraction of 40-some airplanes, that's going to bring a lot of people out here.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Well, we just need to figure out which way, because I need to figure out how to get those guys lunch.
Is EAA willing to do that?
Well, we have a meeting on Saturday, so we wanted to come get more information about what to expect, and I think that we would be.
I think they'll jump all over it.
Yeah, we have a barbecue.
We'll jump all over it, yeah.
So 40 to 50, so would it be just feeding you, or would it be like anybody that have like a hot dogs, hamburger sale, that people that are visiting?
They can do that as well. Why
yeah.
not?
Okay.
Might waste some money for EAA if you want.
Yeah.
The public to shout out, and a lot of places that does happen.
Right. Okay.
They'll set up lunch, and it'll be in a hangar, and the thing is full of tables, and it's going all day long.
Yeah.
And the public's in, and they buy hamburgers or hot dogs, whatever's there, and if you want, we can kick in to help pay for our people.
Okay.
To get that going.
We should probably look at getting, see if there's some tourism money out of the Lower Columbia Tourism Committee, the Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Cut in for that, because I mean, I can imagine that could be a pretty big draw. So, I'm just saying, you know, so you don't have to contribute your own, because you're paying gas to get down here, right? So.
Yeah,
but if the EAA could get some grant money or some
whoever,
funding,
the airport, the port, whoever, you know, because, I mean, the port's a member of that committee, so.
Oh, I think it's totally doable.
It is a lot of fun, and we've had, I have my laptop with me, but I could show you slideshows of all the places we went to. You know, when COVID was going on, nobody was doing anything, and it was like probably 21. We went to, our farthest away stop was Blackfoot, Idaho, and that's like near Great Falls.
So you do it every other year?
Yeah,
typically.
Every other year, and the entire town was there, and they had food trucks lining up here. CAP was out marching around. They had a choir singing and all this stuff. And I asked them, "Wow, what's all
the
this?"
The heavens opened up. And
what's all this about? And they said, "Oh, this is for you guys."
Yeah.
Hey,
you know,
we could sing off key for them.
It was pretty good.
Yeah,
no, well, he told me. He says we didn't have our state fair this year, so they brought all their vendors up to the airport.
Oh.
And,
made it a
whole town turned
community
out.
Event.
It was crazy.
Now, do you produce the flyers and posters, or does that report? Okay.
No, we do. Yeah,
do you have any yet, or is it still too early?
No, it's still probably April, and I'll probably come down here end of April and see you guys and hand out and see where, you know, I'd like to actually pass this around, have y'all write your name and phone number and what you're attached to, so I know who I'm talking to, and we can talk, and we can have my stuff. And then we can do a good bit of this on the phone. If my wife wasn't coming, I would have flown down here, but she's quit flying. She's over at the hotel. But
where do you come from? Where do you live?
Wilkerson.
Wilkerson?
Bottom of Mount Rainier. In a little coal mining town.
Oh.
So
yeah. Close to Randall.
We have family in Randall.
No, Randall's way south.
Way south.
Yeah. It's quite a way south. If you know where Puyallup is?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, Enumclaw.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we're east of Enumclaw up the Carbon River.
Oh.
That's where we live. I'm out of my shop and stuff down at Funfield Puyallup Airport. So
do you have a booth at the Northwest Aviation Conference?
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No. Well, I'll be there though.
Some
I'm scrounging for
yeah, we could use a couple blinds.
Hmm?
A couple blinds for the window.
Oh, okay. I love the sun. You know, I'm from up there. Remember, we see that once a winter.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's hope we got good weather, July 14th.
Yes, yeah. Truly.
That's sometimes iffy still here, but.
Would you have a backup plan if it doesn't can't fly?
I'm not sure. I'm thinking of trying to do something else if not, but it can't be anything if we're going to be into this and then we get fogged out or something, some total dog crap, then we're going to have to send you a check or whatever to help pay for things. And
do we have a date for the fly-in yet?
No.
Or the open house, I mean?
Jason isn't here from the Coast Guard. It would be good if he was here.
May I ask, where are we at on the agenda? Sorry, I came late. It was on a phone call.
We just introduced, waiting for people to come in.
Oh, gotcha.
And so,
I started taking notes, so I was like, oh, we started?
I need to keep track of who's talking.
If you want a chair, because you're the official chair until we have elections.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, sure. All right, I call the order. Has the roll call been taken?
No? Not yet.
All right, we'll just go around real quick. Just say your name.
Yeah, Wes Tolan, EAA.
I'm Jim Campbell, Fort of Astoria.
Deb Tolan, EAA.
Steve Dillard.
Matt McGrath.
John Reichel, Airport Committee.
Honor Reichel Mooch.
I can vouch for that.
Terry Inslee, guest here.
Deanna Delgado from the port.
And Henry Balancy for Airport Committee. I don't know if we have a quorum, John. I don't think we do. We have Steve, you, and me. And, well, Jim's not technically
a commission counsel.
Commission
not a voter.
But I remember we have some questionable appointment validities. And
by the wire.
Because I think Mark Smith is still technically on the committee.
Well, yeah.
And
I thought he'd be here, too. So.
I know that Henry from Ardale won't make it. And Coast Guard's not here. I see a guy walking, but that doesn't look like he's an officer.
No, I guess not. They didn't really receive an RSVP, but yes, the people that you have mentioned are the only ones that are here. Their terms have expired as of, this year for most of them, but I'm really not sure.
So since we have both port staff and port commissioner here, I'll just ask, since we lack a quorum, but we also probably lack a quorum based on expired appointments, is that correct? So technically, we don't have enough appointments to even conduct business, but in order to move forward, since the meeting is called, would it be okay with the Port Commission and the staff if we just move forward with what we have for now and hump our way till we get a full staff, full committee?
Works for me. I'll defer to
Jim?
Yep.
Is the official representative? All right.
Yep.
Cool. Then we'll call a meeting to order. officially, I guess you could say. Any reports from staff? That's not on the agenda.
Nothing really to report outside of the agenda. I think we'll wait until we get to the end of that.
Okay. First, we have election of officers. It's Reichel, Dillard, and me.
Well, I know last time we talked, you wanted to be off.
I just don't feel like with my travel schedule,
yeah.
I'm a reliable, always going to be there on Mondays guy. So that's my concern. If we schedule the meeting such that they were around city commission meetings, I could make it, but I can't with the current schedules.
Well, in that case, then I would like to nominate Steve Dillard.
Okay, yeah,
he's
I'll
well
second that.
Organized, and he presents. His cockpit manners are great, so I expect the meeting to be the same.
I'll second that. Is there any objection to the nomination of Steve Dillard as chair? Hearing none. By unanimous. unanimous consent. So ordered. What about vice chair when he's gone?
I think it's necessary to have a vice chair, because in a discussion I had with Steve ahead of time to make sure I didn't nominate somebody who didn't want to be it. He's very well able to make scheduled meetings when he knows ahead, but with his business in Seaside, if something comes up, it would probably be good to have a vice chair that he can communicate with. So even though it's such a small group, I think it's important to have one. But I have no recommendations.
We are only required to have a chairperson, so vice chair can be, yeah, there's no limitations or anything like that. So do we want to, Jared, do you want to just, how do I put it, issue an order of precedence instead of, I mean, I'd be happy to fill a vice chair if you need it, or you can do it.
I think that would be a good idea if you were willing to.
Be happy to do it. Any objections?
You still got the same scheduling issues, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, with somebody else managing the coordination, it's okay. A lot less work that way, so...
All right, yeah.
My issues that I know I'm always in town the Monday before city commission meetings, the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month. That doesn't mean it's the second and fourth Mondays of the month, though. But yeah, my travel schedule's got such that it's harder to do as many more remote.
You don't want to Zoom from Iceland?
I've done that, actually. I Zoomed from Greece on a couple things. I literally landed after a 20-hour flight and then...
Well, if you're okay with it, I'll second, you.
Thank
as
you.
Chair, as vice chair.
All right.
Hello, Coast Guard.
Hello, boys.
All righty. Please identify yourselves for the record.
Yes. Apologies, Commander John Ferrer. I'm the operations officer. Took over for Adam Young over here. And just got back from a flight. I apologize. Yes.
Might need to spell your last name for the record.
Yeah, no problem. F-E-R-R-E-I-R-A.
Perfect. And sorry, sir.
Kane Smith, I'm the command security officer for the base.
Okay.
Can you come over here?
Kane Smith.
I'm not part of this meeting.
Just at this
time.
I'm just
moving. I am. Well, I'm moving with you.
There's
you
a, guys oh, you guys take that.
And the sun just went down, so you could go play with the there.
All right, there's a motion of second for vice chair and a bouncy for any objections to that? Hearing none, so ordered. Next, we'll go on and review the current projects, the airport and priority recommendation. I think Matt McGrath,
you're
taking that off?
Sure. So, obviously, there's a lot going on here. One of the big ones that we're working on right now is Schooler. So, talk with them to make sure that the airport doesn't smell like it has in the last few months. So, they are actually working on a project to get that squared away. What they're likely going to need from us is just simply to lease a little more land so they can put the infrastructure a little bit west of where they got the those towers out there. So, but from all of my discussions with Schooler, they're confident that this is going to eliminate the issue. So that's coming. Also have some wetlands delineations going on right now, just as a bit of a dovetail with our commission meeting recently. We had the airport master plan approved. We're just waiting for the FAA's final sign-off, airport layout plan as well, and looking at wetland delineation to see what we can do about putting hangars next to docks, and then also moving that road from the center of Electro's parking lot up against the Coast Guard fence. And then the other area that we're delineating now is south of Eero for development of the hangars. So just again, something that we're looking at. As far as impending projects, we've got A and B row scheduled for repairs, getting the tracks completely ripped out and redone. That will be going out for bid in the spring. Mm-hmm. So those should be done with NTE, so that MPE, the non-primary entitlement funds they're getting from that. And we may even have a little bit of money left over to start working on roofs and things like that. So,
Matt, just real quick on that, to follow up on your question, or the road realignments and the extensions. Mm-hmm. Are you talking about cutting that road flight line all the way down, or just extending the development of the hangars?
No, what we're looking at doing is what the airport layout plan had looked at is relocating that road. So rather than coming down the middle, is actually moving it out along the fence line and around the Electro parking lot, so that there would be nobody driving through there at all. That would just be Lectro's parking lot, and that's it.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. But what I'm asking is in terms of the past Eero,
uh-huh.
are you looking at that? Because there's that trail that's basically blazed past UPS and
sure.
Sideline Ecology.
Sure.
Are you talking about development of that at all when you connect for the new hangers or no?
We are. So that's if you look at it, and it really just depends on how it kind of shakes out. But the thought was to build directly south and then move over west mm-hmm. from that. So yeah. So it's basically if you look at the layout plan, we don't have it here, but it would eventually. We would start this way
mm-hmm.
and then move over.
Good,
so
okay.
it would slowly go over there, but that's kind of phase two of the hangar development,
okay.
just to move outside of that.
Are you actively searching funds like COLPAC or some like Board of Aviation funds or
we haven't looked at it actively yet. So we want to get this done first, and then we're going to have to start scoping out with some civil and see exactly what that is, and that's where we're going to start looking at some funding.
April 3rd, the Department of Aviation is having a board meeting at the Judge Boynton building,
uh-huh.
And they've invited me for the city. I don't know if they
sure.
invited the port to speak. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if a good way to throw something in the
sure.
ether for, hey.
Sure. Yeah, and then the other side is that, you know, we have a few mitigation credits left in our mitigation bank here for the airport. One of the things we're looking at is focusing a good portion of that to the industrial park. So what Schooler's got, and really towards the west there, is seeing if we can get about 10 acres that we can just completely mitigate and develop that. So there's a number of people that want to come in here and start doing some things. We're thinking about light industrial work. If we put some light industrial buildings up there with some shop space and some office space, it would go like that. So there's a number of items to look at with that. The other thing to remember is that the county gave us $250,000 to start working on development of the airport industrial park. So with the environmental work that we're going to be doing, the county is actually going to be funding that, along with some of the engineering and some of the utilities work that we may need to be able to do. So all that's coming. So all we need is just time and money, right?
Do you know what the different colors on those flags on the delineation markers down there are? Beyond Eero, on the south side of Eero, I see it's all flagged.
What colors?
Yeah, but they have blue flags, red flags, and stuff. And I didn't know if all of that was designated wetlands or it's a certain color flag means that's not indicated.
Yeah, I don't know what the color means. And just because it may be wetlands doesn't mean that it's a problem.
Oh,
it just means that if we do have some remnant of wetlands there, we just may have to mitigate for it. So, but the most important use of that mitigation would be Schooler if we can do that. But then when you're looking at the development of the hangars, really the first priority is going to be out here because you've got utilities, you've got everything, and if we're going to drag utilities and water and all that to the Eero, it's going to run a bit more money. Right now it would make more sense to draw any money that we can to the engineering, the design, and then putting in some executive hangars on this side. So that's really going to be our first step with the development.
Any other projects?
Well, there's a number of things that we're looking at, and I guess I won't get into, let's see.
Do you need a recommendation from the committee on prioritization of those, or is that what you're requesting?
We can certainly listen to a recommendation on it, for sure.
So before us, is there any other projects to add to that list, though, seeking recommendations?
There again,
about?
You know, when I'm looking at the next one is the best design for the FBO. So one of the things I've been contemplating for a while is extending this building. So this is part of the airport master plan was developing this and potentially knocking this wall out, putting in two floors and having kind of a viewing platform upstairs, kind of a fishbowl upstairs. So if we could do that and looking at, really what do we need there? Pilot space, what do we need? And I know that there's been some interest from Astoria Aviation, for example, about using a space for flight simulator, that type of thing. So these are all the things that I need advice from. Like what, if we're going to go out for a building design and put it into the BIL grant, then what really do we need to throw in as components of that design? So, because we're going to need to get an engineer or an architect on board, start designing that and to get it in. Mm-hmm. So that's something I want the AEC to kind of think about. What could
but
be
the,
used.
Now, just to be clear, though, in terms of priority recommendations for projects, the FBO you're currently pursuing, so that doesn't need a prioritization, right?
Correct.
So let's do with priority recommendation first and then move our way down to the design
okay.
issue. So the projects that you're asking priority recommendation for are road realignment in front of Electro to the new executive hangars,
mm-hmm.
Redevelopment of the south side, and then what's the other one? Is that the Schuller? So is that to use the Rutland credits for Schuller, or just to let the Schuller do that, or what's the request?
Well, what we're looking at is, again, I don't want to use all of the credits there
mm-hmm.
if it kind of hampers us for doing the development
right.
here, right? So I want to, because if there's a way that we could look at kind of combining those and saying, okay, maybe we need a few acre credits out here, or just, you know, a small portion to get the road realigned
mm-hmm.
and get that done. My hope is that all that comes up as nothing. So we don't have to do any of that. But if we do need to do that, then I would suggest that we focus on this first, delineate this first, work on that, and then put the remainder towards Schuller. And then when we start looking at ERO, we're probably going to have to look at it as an individual mitigation project.
Sure. I would say that, yeah, I mean, just from my perspective, aviation use is the top priority of any wetland
sure.
credit over light
sure.
industrial, even if it is kind of important for that light industrial
sure.
tenant.
Well, and I'm looking at the industrial use as really the financial support for the airport.
How's that?
So.
Okay.
Well, I think since they've already leased out Doc's hangar and it's revenue generating,
yeah.
that it's proofing that
yeah.
hangars
mm-hmm.
along the
yeah.
front here would be useful to generate revenue. And
yeah.
so.
I think we need a jet-sized hangar, though, if we're
yeah.
going to build a new executive hangar, because the amount of money you can charge for a heated jet hangar compared to, like, I mean, if you look at what they charge in Portland for those
oh,
things,
yeah.
it's people don't want their aircraft in the salt,
yeah.
you know, and there's money to be had in, hey, it's the only hangar available, like, you love it, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's it. The other side of this is that we're a little limited here just because of the proximity to the ramp, the Coast Guard ramp, so one of the things we're looking at is, I mean, if we built three hangars out here right now, I think we'd have to rent it pretty quickly. We also have, as part of the airport master plan, that spot right out
front
Electro
yeah.
that could put, I mean, FAA's already approved location of 100 by 70, 100 by 80 hangar out there. That's the place to do the jet.
Where's that at?
Right out between Electro and the bar pilots.
That's where you get a G450 size hangar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Between them and the bar pilots?
Correct.
Now, just to clarify that, Paul Davis is under the impression that FAA said you couldn't block the doors.
Can't block the doors, correct.
Okay.
But that's still
but you got
fits
enough
there.
Space
it still
that.
Fits there.
Yeah,
yeah
okay. All right, we'll just pull the group, Chair.
Yeah, I think instead
one, two,
of making a recommendation, we just support as it was presented because I think it makes the logical sense. The road, those hangars, and then look down at Beyond Euro. I mean, there's a critical shortage of hangars now, but I think that, you know, revenue source will be quicker this way.
Yeah. See?
Yeah, ditto. Yeah.
So, by unanimous consent, prioritization is a staff presented.
The Coast Guard's new helicopter in there.
Say that again?
We can put your new helicopter in there.
Oh, is that the new hangar that you guys have?
Yeah.
It'll be about $50,000 a month, so. It's not the same
yeah.
thing,
yeah.
right?
No big deal, right?
Yeah. All right, so FBO design.
Yeah, so here again, we just need to start having some discussions about what we really need.
We need a public-facing, I think your idea of having a second-story observation deck would be huge for this airport, and integrating the public to it. That's the one thing that this place is just missing,
yeah.
is that integration of the public aspect.
Yeah. We don't have conference space, we don't have anything. And it doesn't have to be anything where you need, you know, 100 people here to meet.
No.
But if you had something like that, it could be used for other things at different times, like, you know, just even an example for this event coming up on July 14th. That'd be huge.
Yeah.
And then the other side is, you know, we've been talking about, you know, as we've been doing the fly-ins, is having some days where we're just, hey, come on in and get a $100 burger, where we just have a weekend, where we just have, okay, say Ribs by Rob or some of the vendors come out, and we can plug in. We got a 30-amp plug-in right here. We're all ready for it. And if you had some space along, right along the ramp here that you could, you know, take advantage of, I think, you know, it'd be a big draw.
Are you planning on any like retractable covers or something like that, just in case it gets rainy or something?
Well, my thought like was to area? Yeah. Well, my thought was to knock this out and have again just to kind of extend the lobby here, and then have a fishbowl up top, and then a deck on top of that.
Oh, okay. So
for land use here, we have no problem if there was a conference room up there, right?
No, because it's just an empty office.
Sure, yes.
Yeah, so
it's all about your verbiage.
Yes.
So if you had a big window space conference room, correct, you'd have to have an elevator included then, huh?
Yep. Well, that's one of the things that we can put in, is that, you know, because this building technically is not ADA compliant because of the ramp, mm-hmm, so that could do this. We would look at making the building ADA compliant once that was put in. That would be just part of it.
Yeah.
So it's something that's a box to check for the BIL funds.
I think having a conference room, if it's for local non-aviation group that want to use it, I think it would be an airport promotional.
I think that would be big, and I think, you know, if you make it, I don't know, how many people are you expecting in that size, like 20?
20 to 30, yeah.
Yeah, and that's most of your government meeting sizes. I mean.
Well, and part of the thing is that when we have military operations here that are out on the, they don't have the space. I mean, you're coming in here, you've got 25, 30 people jammed in here,
yeah,
and it'd be nice if they had some space to go.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And now you're not looking for a recommendation now, just planting the seed for thoughts?
Well, yeah, and because I do want to, within the next 3 to 4 months, is to get an architect on board to start designing the building. So if we could have a kind of a scope of work roughed out as far as what we need, that at least would...
I think when you build the observation deck, just because I'm thinking of like summer projects, or in terms of, you know, you might have fly-ins or something like that, it may be worthwhile, and I wouldn't put this in your architectural plans per se, to have some sort of retractable fabric cover that if, sure, say it did rain or something like that, people can, sure, still observe. Uh-huh. Or if you're going to have some outdoor, you know, whatever, that you have some sort of cover for that. But that's not even a full design thing, that's more of like an add-on later, but I think your idea is perfect. I don't see anything to change on that, in terms of a fishbowl for conference and a,
yeah,
other than lots of windows, right?
Yeah, lots of windows, I think, would be.
And maybe a FlightAware tracker screen in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, part of it's on there right now. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like part of it is going to like at a pilot's lounge, you know, just where you can have, because a lot of times you get these guys that are just coming in, they just need some place to sleep real quick, and just head off into this room and get it up. Bark a lounger and enjoy yourself, you know. So
would you do that maybe down there in this space?
Well, that's, again, we can use this here for that. Yeah. And there's a number of things that we can do.
I guess the question is how big, how many pilots do you want to fit in the lounge, and how much does that constrain to the second add-on for the conference, yeah, space?
We can get into all, yeah, that when we start getting into the design.
But
we talked before. What about food service? Would you consider that?
I think the problem with food service here is that if you're going to have a restaurant here, it has to stand alone all the time by itself. And so it's just not going to work. So I think what we do is we can have, I mean, we've got that little kitchen. We can expand that and improve on that with the upstairs. But I think you're really, what you're looking at doing is having a space where you can have multiple vendors come out, and you've got a small kitchen space that they can use, but it's not something that has to be used all the time for a restaurant.
But if you have a conference, they could provide lunch there.
Correct. Yeah.
You would have facilities to provide food.
It would be kind of a common lunch area, really, or common kitchen area. So that, you know, we could have, so like you can let a caterer in there. You can do, I mean, just have some space big enough for them to use.
Okay.
But it doesn't need to be.
That gives you more flexibility.
Doesn't need to
meetings,
be grandiose. Yeah. So.
The kinds of meetings you can have.
Correct.
Yeah. A follow-on question is, I guess if you extend the FBO, there'll be plenty of space to remodel if you needed to. Mm-hmm. But if we ever get urban air mobility, if that ever becomes a real thing, you know, is there going to be a lobby for people checking in to get their flight to Portland Airport or, you know, whatever that's going to be?
Sure.
But I think that would be sufficient space. Just make sure that that's planned,
yeah,
you know, that you could have that lobby space. Because I think that's getting more and more likely,
yeah,
as a possibility.
Sure.
I don't think commercial air service is coming back, but I think you're going to see urban air mobility get you to Portland Airport.
But it's, you know, with this building, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward project. You just knock out one wall and just add another structure.
Yeah.
So
timeline, you know, we now have agreed that we'll meet at least quarterly, even if we don't have a item pending. So that would put us into April.
Uh-huh.
Timeline, if people came back with ideas for an April meeting, is that going to work with you?
I'd like to have them sooner.
Okay.
So.
We can meet as you need.
Yeah.
One suggestion, that we've got other plans here hosting this group. We probably should have something in between here, like February.
1st of March?
Yeah.
February's coming right up, so.
Next week.
Yeah. Well, that works for you, you'll be the chair.
Changing subjects, my plans for the meeting schedule this year would be to avoid the summer months, so I was thinking May, maybe May 12th for the next meeting. If we want to have a March meeting, that would be fine, March and May, and then we wouldn't have another meeting till the 9th of September. That means, unless we are doing something for an open house, then you, like you said, we could do an event committee, and they can meet as needed over the next few months. They'd have to meet over the next few months to get going.
Well, and then on the
we could meet in March, and then again in May, and then not till September.
Yeah, because I can just get some general ideas, it'd just be helpful. Because and as with anything, it's a lot easier to edit than to create, right? So if we can just get the kind of a base plan, like, hey, this doesn't work, that doesn't work, maybe you need to add this, add that.
But you're going to have like an outline of what the tentative plan is, or are you just asking it? Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Then we can hack at
any
it.
Idea, any ideas that you have, let me know, and I can start putting them in the scope.
And you're only expanding the footprint to the east, is that right?
Correct.
Can you give us dimensions? What's in your head?
Sure.
Can you email that to us or something?
Yep. Okay. I'll do a little aerial, show you what I'm talking about.
That'd be helpful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we make it the Rick Newton Memorial?
No. that'd be a no.
He hates the airport. Calls the city every day.
Well, you know, Monday was only chosen out of the thin air for meeting, and it was one where the airport manager was available on a lot of Mondays. But if Tuesday works, because he has to be here for a city commission, and you can, if you meet here at 4, you can still make your meetings, right?
Tuesday's my meetings are 6.
Tuesday's bad for us, though.
We it is?
Commission meetings on Tuesdays.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
I'm usually here for the Monday before those meetings. It's just that Monday isn't always a regular second or fourth Monday, because the Mondays sometimes are the first Monday.
So we should already choose the March meeting then, huh?
I think if the chairman wants to just kick out a meeting thing, we could try and put it on the calendar.
Sure.
I just know that, like, I'm gone at NBAA Schedules and Dispatchers in March. But that's later in March. That's the 25th.
Coast Guard, what started out the meeting today is Mr. Inslee came down. He's part of the Puget Sound Antique Aero Club or Airplane Club.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to show up here on July 14th with about 40 airplanes in the neighborhood of that. All antique airplanes. It'll be quite an event, so it won't be part of the airfare, but it'll be because it's a Monday. But it might be.
Is it a public event or is it just a fly-in?
Public.
Public event. Okay.
We're hoping to promote it to where we get the public to come out. That's what we're trying to do, is promote aviation to people.
Are you looking for participation from us? Is that something you're interested in? Or?
Well, you know, that'd be pretty neat if some of our guys are ex-military and stuff like that, and I don't know what participation we'd be speaking of, but just if they can talk to you guys and view your stuff and stuff like that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, we can probably set up, if you want, maybe a static display on your portion of the ramp so they're not walking all the way over to ours or anything like that, to make it a little easier. We got the fire truck we can always provide as well to kind of sightsee if people are interested in that, but I'm sure there's something we can figure out for the 14th of July, you said?
Yes.
Okay.
I just thought I can meet everybody here. You know, it's all still in the works.
Sure.
So I just need to communicate and learn who I can talk to and get ideas from. And we're going to talk about different lunches. And I'm not sure. Someone mentioned about putting our airplanes out on this closed runway. And I don't know how far away that is, but I don't think you want your general public out there. And our goal is to have the general public be able to come over, and we talk to them and explain about flying, explain about the planes, show them the old stuff, and just try to do some advocating for aviation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not sure,
I think there's ramp space, don't you? For that, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, there's.
Because it goes all the way, yeah.
For sure, we got it. Right here is fine.
Okay, fine. Yeah, because then the public can still walk out and stuff and talk to us and things, right? And then perhaps work this shape. I was just reminding myself on the list of stuff we do, and then we talked about the lunch, you know, with the EAA and stuff like that, where if we can get the public to donate money, you know, to buy their lunch from them, and they make money as well. We're not making money, we're just advocating to help the hosts to get a little something back.
I know we do that airport fly-in every year too. That's still scheduled, I assume.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't, so that'd be separate, obviously, than this. Mm-hmm. Then. Okay. Yeah.
So you guys do that on the weekend. Then.
Yeah.
Saturday.
August.
Yeah, but usually like the third Saturday in August, because you want to miss the regatta and
not
stuff.
Overlap those. Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have a date yet for that.
No, we could set one up.
That'd be the 16th, the third Saturday.
16 August.
I usually wait with the dates until we've gone to the aviation conference to find out when the other players are doing things, you know. But last year we moved it to stay away from Bremerton and Arlington, and then they moved it after we stopped. So that happens. You can't make it always perfect.
Well, the weather was perfect both years, so.
But so probably the third or fourth, probably the third Saturday of August is a good date. But
what is this? What are you guys doing? What does this entail?
We've got it's a Port of Astoria Airport Coast Guard open house. We have aircraft fly in. We have the Coast Guard put on a demonstration, the bar pilots helicopter. We had the Army come in with a CH-47. Very popular. It had about 740 people going through a tour in that. And Tom Jensen was here the year before with his N3N and was on the Coast Guard ramp, sits in Coast Guard livery. And then we have the antique car clubs come in, not the antique cars, but classic cars come in too and line up. Mm-hmm. And they put on food vendors, the port gets big tents. It's a pretty good event.
Yeah. Not to mention the EA and what they're doing.
Yeah.
Took up, what, 60 kids last year?
Yeah, we set up a staging area with a pilot's lounge was our motorhome. Mm-hmm. And then we had tables and chairs, and we flew 60 Young Eagles that day.
Very nice.
Yeah, it was really nice. Turned out well.
Always weather dependent here, but.
Yeah. Well, if we get weathered out, you know, I might be able to convince quite a few of them to make a run down here on Saturday.
Come back.
Oh, that'd be great. Cascade Warbirds was going to do it, but they were already committed to Bremerton. And so Bremerton changed to be on the same date as we were. So, but and then Gary Peters, which you guys are going to, Jim's affiliated with, they had the first year they canceled out because of thunderstorms in between. It was beautiful here.
Yeah.
And then last year they didn't get back from Oshkosh in time to get their ships ready. So,
we've got the FBOs. That'll be coming back in the next meeting.
March.
March works for your time.
Yeah.
Okay.
March meeting.
We'll do March 10th.
March 10th, right.
And then we could do May 12th or 19th, and then September 8th. For those would be regular meetings.
So March 10th and then May what?
12th is the second Monday. 19th is available too, since we're going to do a gap through the summer. But
19th is eBay, so I'll be in Geneva.
All right, let's do the 12th, May 12th.
You can't make it back for just a meeting.
You know, it's our first eBay we're not, or eBay's that we're not towing. Yeah, the Frenchies decided to go on their own, so we'll see what that's like.
March 10th, I won't be here.
You won't be.
I'm in D.C.
Okay.
March 10th or 12th?
Do you want to do... The 5th? Cinco de Mayo?
Sure. Bring some Mexican food out.
So, Mr. Chairman, did you move the meeting on
I'm
March 10th?
I'm sorry, 8? May. That's May.
Oh, no, I was looking at March 10th.
March 10th you can.
Which is the one he needs the feedback for. So.
March 10th.
Cinco de Mayo.
You want to do 17th?
sure.
You have a son that does.
Yeah,
so
March
17th. The other side of this, might be not. You'd be here.
Well, yeah, but you're kind of driving. It's a conversation for you, mostly. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, 17th's good.
Okay, so March 17th.
What's the date now?
March 17th.
Okay.
And then May 12th.
And May 12th.
How many of y'all are going to Oshkosh this year?
I've been there, flew over and threw my wallet out. Cheapest way to go.
Ben, well, I'd love to go again. I'll probably ground up a few times, won't be able to.
Okay. Alrighty. Industrial Park Development, I guess, is the next one, Jenna?
What's that?
Industrial Park and Cover.
Okay. And you've covered school already?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What's your time frame on that? Just curious, because I know the city gave them a 90-day time frame, and I think they're getting close to that when we'll start issuing $1,000 per day fines.
I'm waiting on Chase. I left a message for him last week to see where they are on that.
Okay.
We talked to Deanna before you got here, well, before the mayor got here, with the master plan. Is it possible to just have it available for guys to look at and leave it in your...
For sure. Yeah, we got to be multiple copies coming.
That'd be great. And you covered hangar repairs?
What's that?
Hangar repairs?
No, that's, we talked about that already.
Okay.
A and B rails?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Landing fees?
Yeah, landing fees. I know this is a really fun subject here. But one of the things we're looking at is graduated rates. So, again, no fees for general aviation. But if you look at a number of different airports, you know, Sun River, you got Klamath Falls, a number of them do this. But the heavier the plane, the more accelerated the rate. So what the proposal would be is anything, if you look at, you know, 0 to 10,000, that's free. Anything over 10 to 20 would be $2 per 1,000. 20,000 to 30,000 pounds would be $3 per. 30,000 to 40,000 pounds would be $4 per. Up to 60, which would go to $6, and then that's it. So it doesn't mean a whole lot to the airport long term, and you're probably looking at another $15,000 to $20,000 annually, but most of the damage that's being done on the ramp is going to be by those heavier planes. So it's just looking to kind of recoup some of that from the larger planes that are coming in. So.
So that landing fee or ramp fee?
Yeah, and it depends on when you're starting to look at the different airports. Some of them do it on a landing fee. Some of them do it on a ramp fee. Depends on how you want to capture it. I think it's just going to be cleaner for us to put it on a landing fee, because a landing fee is captured by Vector and we don't have to do anything. So it's all just captured by those folks. They land here, they take off from here, we automatically get it built, and the staff does not have to chase people around. So if you like, I can come up with the schedule, what I just discussed, and see if that's something that the AC is amenable to, and then we take that to the commission.
Before I want to vote on that, I'd probably want to see a comparables in terms of areas around that, just to make sure that we're not
at all.
Sure.
Because
just as we're starting to take off, that we're not starting to pinch ourselves.
Sure.
Established.
Well, what happens with touch and goes for large aircraft that want to?
They get charged.
They get charged for each one.
Correct.
Does Vector charge a fee?
Vector takes 25%. But we're making about 30 to 50% more on what we were collecting, because after hours we weren't here, but it's automated through them. So
and less labor
and zero labor. So
how much would that be for like a C-130, which is like 160,000 pounds?
Well, it would be
military's always exempt, aren't they?
Yeah, military's exempt. But if you get something,
because that's where your damage is coming from, is 160,000 pound aircraft flying taking off.
But that's part of the, you know, actually going to Terry says, hey, you know, how does the port make money? If we can sell fuel, that's where we kind of make some of that stuff up. So that's why we've been, you know, pretty good about keeping the prices low, and that's been an attractor. And it's also happening with the military stuff as well. So we've got people flying in from all over. We've got the pizza for patches that we're doing here. We're wanting to, you know, if you guys, if we got military operations that are providing patches, we'll buy you pizza. And then, you know, if you get a C-130 here, it takes a couple thousand gallons, that helps us.
So wait, Astoria Police conned you in some pizza?
Absolutely.
Well, I'll have to con you in some more pizza.
That's a lot to do with Matt.
Where do you get the pizza from? It's in Fultanos, I hope.
Oh, they'll do Fultanos, they'll do Costco, they'll do whatever what's open.
That's funny.
Yeah, so.
Okay. So you come back with that then?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Mr. Chairman, I think we're good to go the order.
That covered all the stuff I had. I'm interested in some of the development ideas, so I'm interested in seeing your master plan. And,
sure.
And you had talked about you were searching for other grants, or you were applying for grants, or there's some more opportunities for grants, is that right?
Yeah, there are some additional grants. The big ones we're looking at are the BIL, so that's a bipartisan infrastructure law, so the grants that we can get. And one of the things that we can do with this, with the extension, is through the ATP, so that's the Airport Terminal Program. And if you look nationwide at what they're granting for those airports, it's big dollars. I mean, some airports are getting $50 million to redo their terminal. So for us to go after something like this would be pretty minuscule in their mind. So, but it's also that if you ask too little, they don't want to give it to you. So, right. So we want to have it a little more grandiose than what we may have been originally thinking. But I think that the opportunity is good with the BIL right now. The other thing, I just got a call with MARAD. So Maritime Administration and the grants that they administer, and one of the things that's been good is they're kind of doing away with some of the, because of what's going on with Trump and the DEI and the environmental justice, a lot of those requirements are going away. So, which makes the grant application a lot easier to do.
Okay.
So when I heard that today, I was really thankful, because I mean, mm-hmm. so much of that is, it's just this dance where how do you make a case for this?
Yeah,
so
mm-hmm.
so it's been good. So. And I think the people at MARAD were actually happy about it too. So, it's all good.
Mr. Chair, are we at a good of the order?
Yeah.
I'd like to share a couple things, if
please.
I may. Okay, so one of the things I was going to bring up is the other day when Chris was here, the staff member, there was a C-130 that came in, and it was not expected. It was a last-minute change, and they come in here, and they had about 20-some people. And Jason Weeks from the Coast Guard was here, and he saved the day, because these people all had to get lodging, and they went to, I think it was the Hampton or the Best Western. And so we went through the list there and of the different courtesy vehicles and stuff. Well, we had the one courtesy car was gone, so there was only one here. And the only one that called back was Coastal Shuttle. And with a Prius, 21 people, and they had to release because it was a training mission, and they had all this medical gear, and they could not leave it in a plane.
Sure.
And so I think the Coast Guard, that was really great of your guys to step up. They got them a van, and they also loaned them a pickup to take the gear down to the hotel, and they saved the day. And that was great. And, and by the way, I was thinking, I remember the last time I took a plane back east, and I spent the night in, I think it was Rawlins, Wyoming, and their courtesy cars, and they had like three or four of them, their courtesy cars, it was nothing spectacular, because it's a city FBO there, but they had identified on the side of the car, mm-hmm. airport shuttle, or airport courtesy car, I think is all it said, or mm-hmm. airport crew car.
Mm-hmm.
When I pulled up to the motel, I automatically got a discount because they noticed that car. And I wondered if we had some kind of a marking, maybe not on the one you rent out, but on a courtesy car if we ever get a van, where then people that they see it at restaurants, at motels, they realize that the airport does have an impact.
Mm-hmm.
They told me that the reason they did it there was it kept the cars from going in places it shouldn't have been.
Mm-hmm.
And so... And if you want a shuttle car here, I've got one that you can get.
Is that yours, John?
Huh?
Is that yours?
Yes.
No, that's one was on the internet. It's a blended 53 Chevy pickup and a back of a 421.
Well,
you can pass it, right?
Yeah, and then and just to dovetail on that, if I could. So, we got that the rental car here last year, paid a little over $15 for it, and, we've already about paid for a third of it already.
Wow.
So, the thought is, and I've talked with Will about it and mentioned it here before, but we want to look at the next car is getting a van. So
that'd
we got some, just like a minivan, something that we can take eight or nine people around somewhere. We just don't have it. So the thought is that once I hit a certain number with those rentals, is that we'll take that to the commission and look for the purchase of a van. So you're probably looking in March or April. We'll be looking
at cool.
Wonderful. So.
One of the other observations I want to share with you.
Would it be courtesy or rental?
Rental.
Okay.
Is that, right now you're not really noticing it because of the cold weather and the guys that are working here have to put coats on and stuff. But I think the uniform shirt is a great idea.
Yeah.
They look so much more professional out here. And when you think back to the day when Brent was here and you never knew what he was going to show up with, and what they look like now, I think that's a big plus.
Yeah.
And also just the observations of since you guys had the brush beam cut back,
mm-hmm.
how much better you got line of sight visibility and all that. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wondered if I realize Henry Idica is not here today. He couldn't make it. And I don't know that he has that much with the activity of Camp Rylea. But I wondered if on the agenda, if we'd have a standing deal on the agenda so that when the Coast Guard is here, that they could tell us what, because we're talking about, you're still looking at ramp improvements and you're still looking at more helicopters coming in. Just kind of an update of what's going on with the other part of the airport.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, right now, nothing's solidified yet. The one thing we are getting close to being finalized project-wise is a ramp improvement for our section. So they're going to be resurfacing that ramp. That's project that's scheduled to take place hopefully in May, if it doesn't get pushed back anything beyond that. So for the purposes of us on base property, we're going to be accessing the taxiway along the closed runway
mm-hmm.
to get out to the rest of the airport for probably close to about 6 months going around the backside of the hangar space there. So there's a little bit of cleanup that we'll have to do internally at the base side of the house, but that project's going to be going on. I think they're looking at doing some lighting improvements as well for the ramp for nighttime operations, and then structural improvements to the facility itself. The roof's needed, it's overdue for some repair work and stuff like that. So there'll be some one to the next construction projects probably coming up over the next year or two. So.
Yeah, and then one thing just to dovetail on that, I mean, part of the airport master plan was the extension of getting that, looking at additional hangars from the
airport. Yep, I mean, those discussions are still being had, but nothing's ever has been concrete.
Sure.
There's still, the hope is to expand to at least a fourth aircraft, if not a fifth, but
mm-hmm.
With the current climate right now,
mm-hmm.
Everything is very up in the air. I can confirm anything like that.
Sure.
For your awareness, it's public knowledge now, but about 15% of the fleet was grounded because of hours, lifespan hour limitations.
Mm-hmm.
It was unexpected, and so we're reeling still from that. We got to recoup those aircraft before we can look for growth.
Sure.
So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Admiral got fired over partly over that, didn't it?
It was mentioned as one of the items that was cited as one of the things of mismanagement is what they were saying. So there's a number of reasons that I think was listed, but just regardless, we fly these aircraft many hours, more than our DOD brethren do, and so eventually got to the point where certain engineers said they're good to fly, other engineers were like ? And they said we're capping it at this hourly mark, and they put seven of our 40 something aircraft on the ground permanently. So
thanks.
Any of your local ones get affected?
Not grounded, but one of the aircraft is approaching that 19,000 hour flight time mark, and so it is limited in how we can use it. So we are reduced, but we're not limited from the three aircraft we currently have right now.
Is it going to go to SLEP?
Eventually, that's the plan, but right now, because of this, they're behind. They're very behind. They're trying to catch up, because originally there was an expansion to replace the 65s, so they were supposed to be bringing more aircraft on the line. Now those first seven aircraft are just going to be to get us back to a status quo. And that pushes about 3 years behind schedule.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a lot of information, and it's great. Like I'm giving pieces. Things are changing on a daily basis, so that's roughly where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That fourth aircraft, maybe we were hoping like 27 time frame. It's probably more like 30 now. So.
Mm. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. The only good order guy is Electro is getting. So good news is that they shut down the Mexico plant. They were making 8850s in Torreon, Mexico. It was a failed experiment. We built about five units there at a cost of three times the cost to build them here. and the quality was worse than China. So anyways, they onshored that work back. Originally, our new product line that was going to replace the 8850 was going to be built all in Mexico and Czech Republic. And instead, it's being rehomed back to Orlando and here. And then, so we're also getting a little bit more into the general aviation space as Oshkosh Corp. Our parent company is getting much more deep into EAA. So now we are a major sponsor of AirVenture. We'll also be the official towing sponsor there too. So we're going to take a bunch of general aviation tugs up there and issue some show deals. So hopefully we don't have to take them home after the show and have electro units out there. And then trying to think, is there any intent at some point, Matt, for the airport ground crews to provide tow services, which you can charge for?
It's not on the agenda right now.
When you built the new hangars and stuff like that? No?
Perhaps. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the bigger you get, eventually you'll have to get a tug. But
sure, we just want to make sure that we're properly prepared to handle the liability.
Oh, gotcha, okay. So. Come on, they got sales monkeys like me towing aircraft and shows.
You want to come out and tow them?
I mean, we tow them for you temporarily if you need it, but yeah.
You have a plant in Orlando?
What?
You have a plant in Orlando?
So headquarters for divisions in Orlando.
Oh.
Yeah, so Orlando's where they build conventional tractors, de-icers, cargo loaders, baggage tractors, and...
back at Disneyland.
And then Montreal. Ogden is the other similar size plant. Actually, Ogden's bigger now. That's where jetway boarding bridges are built. Preconditioned air, GPUs, military products.
Do you ever open that factory in India?
Yes, Chennai is open. They're building mostly conventional tractors, and because those are simple to make. And then conventional tractors, and I think there's some loaders being built there. And then we've got another plant in Opava, Czech Republic, that's building, I think, mostly military products, but eventually we'll cross into general aviation. But most of the demand's on the airline side, and the cost of shipping and import duties in Europe is, as we get more aggressive with our tariffs, so are they. So it's getting to the point where we can't compete internationally if we don't have offshore plants. So, but that's all we got from there, so.
Just one thing from the Coast Guard side of the house. Just trying to get a little bit more understanding of some areas that are being opened up for some wildlife hunting grounds and stuff like that, and access to the airport. Is there more information on that per se, or who manages
wildlife
that?
Wildlife hunting. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
duck hunting.
Like bird, waterfowl, things like that.
Yeah, we typically just stay kind of shy away from that.
Okay.
We have some deer on the airport, and when they need to be shot, we'll let you know.
Okay. No, it's not. We're not looking to do it.
Yeah.
We had heard that people were giving access to either airport or areas around the airport.
There was some Coast Guard personnel that were involved in the culling for wildlife population control inside the fence.
Yeah. Okay.
But that was controlled by airport staff
and
state approved. But it was not an ongoing event, nor is people available to open public.
Okay.
Yeah. No tags.
But
you should be aware that under state and city law, the dikes are available as long as they're pointed that way for waterfowl hunting.
Okay.
That is state protected.
Where is that, and how are they accessed?
All the waterfront dike trails.
Okay.
I can get you a map if you give me a card. I can give you a map of all the approved areas.
Okay.
Warrenton's also the only place in the state where you can hunt in a state park, which is a state protected hunting area for waterfowl. So if you see a guy running around in Port Stevens with a shotgun in Trestle Bay, it's because it's legal.
Interesting.
Wow. Can't hunt elk, but you can hunt, geese and ducks. Mm-hmm. So
helps enforce their camping fees.
So we had, we just 5 years ago, the city realigned its law with the state law, and then narrowed some of the areas because originally you could hunt at Costco, and that was still a protected area, but nobody could. If cops showed up, you couldn't do anything about it because it was like state approved hunting area. If the Costco chicken was out, you could go and get your duck in the homeless ponds.
And the only reason I bring it up is because with the construction of that new road back on the west side of the airfield, we were a little concerned about potential security violations of folks not realizing they were going through Coast Guard property, just with the fence line and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're not allowed inside the fence.
Right, right. But some areas are not very delineated by a lack of a fence, unfortunately, sure. Even though the sure. property lines yeah. are...
Yeah, anytime. If we've got areas like that that need to be fenced up, we can okay. easily get that done.
Sounds good. Yeah. Appreciate yep. it.
Yep. And you guys just recently cleared the fences, so yeah. it's even more visible.
Yep.
You
yep.
know.
Yep.
Appreciate
yep.
that. So.
Can easily do that. Yeah, I can chat with you. We'll get that figured out.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yep.
We spoke earlier about yep. you know, revamping all the barriers and stuff
yep.
like that too. So.
Yep.
On a positive note, though, if you do reopen, if there is other animals that do get on the airfield, mm-hmm. so under the state law, mm-hmm. nobody involved in the culling party can take possession of the animal or parts, mm-hmm. but it can be donated to a nonprofit. It doesn't say what the nonprofit has to be. Mm-hmm. So technically, if you want to have an elk feed, shoot yeah. elks here, and EAA could serve them up to people.
There you go.
Big fundraiser out of it. You are a qualified nonprofit to receive yeah. any culling activity.
Well, elk with your sheet is delicious.
Yes, it's true.
The dirt that's being put on the closed runway, how far is that going to extend?
It's done.
Okay.
It's done. And that'll be, ultimately, the goal is to kind of get that out of the way. I mean, we've got areas that we want to kind of fill around here. Mm. So it will slowly start going away.
Chicken away. Okay. Yeah. But that's as big as
that's as big as it will be.
Anything else? The motion to adjourn?